And now, Michael Dillon has today's livestock news.
Good evening. Now, the cattle trade today is generally tending to be a bit quieter at all of the sales. I have quite a lot of sales here, so I'll run through them fairly quickly. In Port Tumna, there were 740 cattle on offer, and trade was quieter. Prices there were down by £4 to £5 a 100 kilos for bullocks. And the heifers were down in some cases by more, particularly the store heifers.
Ah, the sound of this programme's ancestor, Michael Dillon, on RTÉ's Farm Diary in 1988. In that year, the Guild of Agricultural Journalists put together a time capsule in a milk churn. Inside, they placed articles of the day from the main Irish newspapers and from the farming press, plus brochures for machinery and that piece of radio archive and others. This week, the padlocked churn was opened in the RDS at a gathering of agricultural journalists, many of whom were around in the 80s, some of whom have been born since. Suzanne Campbell was there to compare back then with now.
Farmers Monthly's first out. Farmers Journal, dated July 1988. The audit, how he wants it, circulated. Charlie was still ruling the roost back then.
Keep digging, Mike.
Keep digging. What have we got here? Letter from the president of the Irish Country Women's Association.
A Ford brochure, tractor.
Ford Series 10, the four-cylinder tractor, 76 to 103 horsepower. 400 horsepower would be more normal now.
Michael Patton from the Guild of Agricultural Journalists tells me what else was pulled from the depths of the milk churn.
There were reports by the predecessors to Chagas. There was different letters and predictions by different journalists about where we were at and where we were going. Absolutely fascinating. And really interesting just how accurate some of it actually was in terms of forward predictions.
What were the things that struck you that people really identified was going to be part of the farming and food landscape in the future?
I paid particular attention to Tom Arnold's paper because when he looked forward, he talked about the impact of environment and climate as something that farming would have to deal with. He also talked about the IT revolution and how that was going to play a very major role in how we farm in the future. And all of those things have come to pass. In 1988, as this churn was being put away, patents were being lodged in the US for precision agriculture using GPS systems. And these have now become the mainstay of how we look at so many aspects of our production.
John Commons, originally from Kilkenny, is very well known as one of the producers of Ear to the Ground, which began back in 1993. But in 1988, John was making educational videos for farmers for ACOS, now Chagask. What does he see as the biggest change since the churn was put away?
I think the social end of farming. When you look at, I could look at my own village I come from, where we would, you know, I've had a lot of families, average kind of farms, maybe 40 or 50 or 60 acres, guys with 20 or 30 cows. If you look at the same area now, you have about four farms with 200 cows, including my own family, and you have very few people. In the sense, in the farming thing.
Yeah.
So it's become a very, very different lifestyle. And it probably, I mean, if they're in dairying, if people are making a decent living. The other side of it, I suppose, is that the other enterprises. Back in 1988, you know, you had a lot of good sheep farmers, you had a lot of good tillage. You had everything, really, a fairly wide variety. Now they're effectively redundant to a large extent.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a massively different world.
Stella Meehan, editor of AgriLand, remembers the 1980s too, and for her, some aspects of farming haven't changed that much at all.
Well, actually, some of the things are very, very similar. We were part-time bee farmers, and my dad had a huge issue with TB, going down with TB a lot. We're in 2025 now, and TB is still a massive issue for dairy and bee farmers in this country. So in that sense, a lot hasn't changed.
Yeah.
But in another sense, I think that the difference that I grew up, when I grew up in the 80s, it was very much rural life. You know, small tractors, local farmers. Farming was a way of life rather than considered an enterprise. It was a way, certainly, of making a living, but like it was just a way of life living in the country. Whereas nowadays it has evolved very much and it has really become an enterprise, a business within itself. Things have become, you know, bigger as farmers became more educated as well. You can see the change in farming practices, even in my home area. You can see the improvements farmers have made over those years and the changes that they've made for the better as well.
One thing that was very obvious coming out in looking at the pieces coming out of the churn, they were nearly all male voices. Now, you're a journalist with AgriLand. That visibility of women in the room today, that wouldn't have been there in 88.
No, that's absolutely true. And I've been a journalist a long time, but an agri journalist specifically for a shorter period of time. And when I first went into it, there is an intimidation there, you know, because you walk into a room with 300 farmers in it and you're probably the only woman there. Maybe there might be one other woman. And that's still the case today. However, in agricultural media in this country, full of women. Look at Chagask, look at Borbia, yeah. Look at Ornua. And I think that they're getting more of a voice, particularly over the last 15 years.
Farming has changed since 1988, and so too has media coverage, with Dr. Claire McCormick from UCD researching how farming coverage has declined in the main newspaper titles in Ireland. She explains why she believes that farming stories matter.
Media is so influential on all our lives. And as the general public becomes more removed from primary agriculture, the media is actually filling those gaps. So people are getting, particularly non-farming audiences, get their information about agriculture from the media. And then that can affect our views, decisions that we may be making in the supermarket. It can affect policy, actually, in certain directions. Mm-hmm. The science shows and has shown for years that media coverage affects how we perceive issues, discuss issues, and how we feel or not mobilised on issues. And when we're trying to work towards more sustainable food systems in Ireland and huge changes on farms, you know, this can affect the speed at which change happens.
Dr. Claire McCormick speaking to Suzanne Campbell at the unlocking of the milk churn time capsule from 1988.